Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of St. John, which has already been read. You know, not all seeds are the same. We start getting the seed catalogs right after the first of the year. Most of those seed catalogs are kind of like the Christmas catalog in the old days. Later, class catalogs in college. It's fun to look at them. You imagine all kinds of possibilities from toys, classes, or seeds you choose. I'm responsible for grass at home. I plant it. I cut it. Picked up some grass seed at Tyson's on Wednesday. Not all grass seed is the same. Got a little bit of Kentucky bluegrass bulk, nice but very expensive. Got quite a bit of rye, cheap and just okay. And I grabbed a mix from Scott's. I don't know what's in there exactly. And what do you suppose I should do with that seed? What should I do with it? What is my wife going to do with the seeds that she buys out of those seed corn seed catalogs? And those corn and bean seeds, I'd already be sitting out in the shed. Not all seeds are the same. What are you going to do with those seeds anyway? When we last left Jesus on Wednesday, he was in the home of siblings, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary of Bethany. Right before that, he had raised Lazarus from the dead, causing some people to believe in him, causing other people, the same people who had decided that Jesus had to die, led those people to conclude that Lazarus had to die as well. Then Jesus left Bethany, came back to that home, and that's when Mary anointed him with oil. When the people of Bethany, which is close to Jerusalem, at the foot of the Mount of Olives, on which is the Garden of Gethsemane, heard that Jesus and Lazarus were both in that one house, by virtue of his being dead and buried for 4 days, then alive again, Lazarus had achieved rock star status along with Jesus. When the religious leaders saw that, that's when they decided that Lazarus, living, breathing, walking proof that the man who had been dead was made alive by Jesus, well, we're going to have to make him dead again. Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Then, when they saw the spectacle of Palm Sunday, people laying down those palm branches, a symbol of victory, triumph, peace, eternal life. The shouts of Hosanna, Lord save us, blessed is the Son of David. When they heard that, they kind of despaired. The Pharisees then said to one another, you see that you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. You know, I don't know about Wrigley. We always sit in the bleachers at Wrigley. But at Busch, you can get seats where you can go into the home team's dugout before the game, maybe run into a player. My wife's sister's husband, they got one of those seats, and he actually talked to Miles Michaelis a year or two ago. He does that. He gets pictures with famous people, then posts them. There's one of him with Cassius Clay, who later became Muhammad Ali. And he's not so great these days. He's dead now. I suppose he's talking to Steve Jobs about computers and boxing and stuff. So these Greeks or Gentiles who right after Palm Sunday sought out Jesus, but the camera had not yet been invented. They went to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, probably because they were from Bethsaida, and requested, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And you know, they don't give those backstage passes to just anybody. Philip had to go to Andrew. I guess Andrew is working security. They went together to tell Jesus that he has visitors. And Jesus, you know, he can be a little bit of a buzzkill. Starts talking about death again. I think that's why I seem to be talking a lot about death lately, because Jesus does, I kind of follow his lead. The hour has come. And by that hour, he means his time of crucifixion. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified? Glorified. And just how is that going to play out? What just happened, Palm Sunday, that seemed like the Son of Man was glorified on Palm Sunday, a parade, palm branches, hail to the Son of David, our Savior. I have also been talking a lot lately about, because Jesus talks a lot about egg. 2 weeks ago, the man who owned land, one son ended up in a pigsty. The other was out working in the fields. They killed the fatted lamb when the young one came back. That loving father, remember, he took back his wayward son. And last week, we heard about a man who set up, probably seamless top to bottom, a wine production facility. He went away. The tenants turned out to be bad. They end up dead. So he got egg and death last week. Here, the King James talks about Jesus talking about a corn of wheat. It's what you put into the ground and it dies. We would call it a seed. We would call it a seed. The English and American languages have a lot in common, but some of their words, their chip, for example, is our fries. What we call grain, they call corn. The modern translations talk about a seed of wheat dropping into the ground. What that actually says is unless a seed, and it's a very generic thing, all seeds are different. Unless a seed which comes from the place where seeds come from, they come from different places, not all seeds are the same. An apple seed comes from the apple tree, which produces apples, which have seeds in them. Beans come from the pod, corn comes from the ear, and birds spread raspberry seeds all over the place. I could go on. That's the way God made it. A lot of variety, very sustainable. Seeds are seeds, and in one way, seeds are all the same. How do they work? How do seeds work? You put them into the ground and they grow. And if you've been here before, you know that I've asked some professionals who work for seed companies, how does that work? And they say, you put them into the ground and they grow. Yeah, what's the science behind that? You put them into the ground and they grow. That's God's creation. So these visitors in Jerusalem, they're there for Passover. They want to meet Jesus, maybe get his autograph. He says to Philip and Andrew, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And isn't that the way it is? Isn't that why I plant grass? Wife plants everything else. You plant corn and beans. That's why you plant it, because it's going to multiply. I've been watching that sort of thing most of my life. Out west, they cut down trees. Then they plant seeds, which grow into trees. And you know, there's a lot of planting going on around here. And Jesus had for his entire life been watching seeds being put into the ground, then die, then you get more plants and more seeds from that seed. In fact, he had been there to create all plants and all seeds. And it's all very sustainable. And now it's his turn, his time, his hour. Talking about himself. Talking about how Jesus is going to be planted in the earth. And that's when he's going to be glorified. Glorified. You know, 1,000 years ago in Western Europe, You know what they considered to be a good crop? They didn't have corn. That's from South America, mostly cereal grains. If you planted one kernel of wheat in the ground, and you got two kernels on average at harvest, that was a successful crop. If you got 10 or even 5 seeds from that one seed, you'd be living like kings. And then came, I guess, the mortarboard plow, and they found out that not all seeds are the same. Eat these, plant these. In the 19th century, the English and other Europeans began to import guano. That stuff from South America. John Deere's polished steel plowing, 1836. McCormick's Reaper. The tractor. I finished the book Tractor Wars. John Deere won. In his first book, Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell talks about how a man went out to Boone County, Iowa. He was selling hybrid corn. It was a hard sell, but eventually it caught on, and I think it stuck. Then move on to the combine, nitrogen-based fertilizer. Norman Borlaug, PBS has a show out now that wants us to think he wasn't so great. I could go on. Jesus is about to be planted in the ground, and look at that. Look at that. He will rise from the dead. You know how this story ends. He will rise from the dead, and unlike Lazarus, who will die again, Jesus lives forever. Jesus lives forever, and from his rising came a lot of seeds. Came a lot of seeds. That's how God's creation works. And those Christians proclaim the word and administer the sacraments in his church, which is very sustainable. And have you noticed that the Christian church has, over the last 1,000 or 2 years, multiplied? There's a lot of us out there. Not so many in America anymore, but around the world, there's a lot of Christians out there. Historically, they've been multiplied from that seed. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, like you. And he continues, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will guard it into eternal life. He's still talking about you. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. Still talking about you. And where exactly is that he is located? After he died and rose from the dead, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and that's where he is. He's in heaven, preparing a room for you in that great mansion in the sky. Later, that comes later. Now, he says, facing his crucifixion, my soul is troubled. My soul is troubled. Most of us, few people, most of us don't know how or when we're going to die. We know we're going to die, we just don't know how or when. He knew how and when, and it was coming soon. His hour has come. And that was troubling to him, but he knows that it has to be. And the Son prayed just that to the Father, ending with, Father, glorify your name. And the Father now speaks to the Son. The first time he spoke to him was at his baptism, the second time at his transfiguration, both kind of glorious things. Now, I have glorified the name, and I will glorify it again. This time, the masses heard the voice from the sky and wonder what's up. He's going to be crucified, a horrible, seemingly inglorious death, and yet somehow that's going to glorify the Father. Didn't they hear him talking about the seed? Did they not know how seeds work? Did they not understand the resurrection? And leaving seeds behind for the time he switches metaphors, still talking about himself, maybe that'll help, from seed and plant to the light. Maybe they'll understand the light. He says, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. Think about light. You know, all life needs light, and without light, life dies. And once that corn or soybean plant or my cherry tree or my pecan tree dies, once it dies, it's not coming back to life, and the light doesn't help it any. Jesus is the light of the world. And when Jesus talks about walking while you have the light, he's talking about your life. Jesus lighting the path for you. If you want to walk around town or out in a field during the daylight, it's pretty easy to find your way around, isn't it? If you want to walk around town at night, you can find your way around because of the street lights. But turn off those street lights or go out into the field at night without any light. Try to find your way around then. It's a lot easier to remain in the light of Jesus and never to go out into the darkness. You get out of the light, it's hard to find your way back. Think about being out in that cornfield at night, no light, completely dark, trying to find your way back to the road that will take you home. I've seen this. I've seen people who have been in the light, then rejected Christianity, and they are some of the most lost, disoriented people I know. Do that. Well, Steve Jobs ended up being a Buddhist. I guess he ended up where Buddhists end up. Same with Muhammad Ali, wherever his religion goes. So today, wheat, on average, yields 22 seeds per head, 5 heads per plant, or 110 seeds per plant. That's a lot better than two. That's a lot better than two. Got a lot of corn experts around here. The corn experts tell me there are about 800 kernels, seeds of corn on an ear. And it looks like maybe some of those stalks have 2 ears. That's a lot more also than 2 grains harvested for 1 seed planted 1,000 years ago. That's progress of agriculture in the Christian West, including and particularly Iowa, and the church in the world has mirrored the field. A lot more of us now than they were at the time of Jesus. He'll rise up and draw all men to himself, and that's exactly what's been going on for about 2,000 years. God the Father, using word and sacrament through Holy Mother Church, producing one generation of Christians after another generation of Christians. There are a lot more in the world than there were 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, including you, and including you 5 over there. God the Father, through word and sacrament, through Holy Mother Church and baptism, made you a Christian. That seed was planted at that time of baptism. And that seed has been nurtured by the Word of God almost into adulthood for you in this church. Talking about the confirmants, of course, who have been nurtured in this church. I did the math, and I think that you guys were about 3 years old when I first met you, and each of you was cute as a little bug's ear. You're still cute, but the ear is a little bit bigger, a little bit older, a little bit more mature, almost in an adult sort of way. Right now, for you, all life is like that seed or toy our college catalog. There are all kinds of possibilities for you. Life is your blank canvas to paint. And like seeds, God made all of you different. He made you the way you're supposed to be, and that's who you are. And those possibilities include keeping and walking in the light. Walking in the light of Jesus and staying out of the dark. Don't go to the dark side. Stay in the light. Resurrection. That's what happened to Jesus after he was planted in the ground. Like to plant a seed in the ground. And from that resurrected plant, many have come forth, including each and every one of you. Keep walking in the light of Christ, who lights our path, and you will reach our destination. Not all destinations are the same, and it's going to be good. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.